In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The lovers of Doritos are up in arms, saying, make all you want, but we're not going to eat them anymore. After parent company Frito-Lay announced it would be offering rainbow-colored Doritos, inspired by the homosexual pride flag, dozens of social media participants vowed never to eat the Dorito chips again. Ram Krishnan, Frito-Lay's chief marketing officer, said the Doritos rainbow chips exemplify his company's support for and celebration of the, quote, LGBT community, unquote. Romans 1:32 warns, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. With more than 25,000 homeless now sleeping on the streets of Los Angeles, city lawmakers have declared a state of emergency and have committed more than $100 million to fight the problem. Herbert Smith, president of LA Missions, spoke to The World View about how the church can be involved in reaching out to the homeless.
LA is huge. It's one of the largest concentrations of homelessness in the country outside of New York. And it has increased. Our numbers for our 2015 count went from 35,000 in the previous count to just over 41,000 in this most recent January count. And the increase has gone up primarily in unsheltered individuals and in individuals versus families. But most of it is due to lack of resources.
Ohio steelworker Chris Routston was fired for sharing his faith with two homosexual co-workers and is now struggling for a way to provide for his family. Routston, who said he has always shared his Christian faith with everyone at work, sent a private message to his homosexual co-worker and Facebook friend on his day off recommending she watch Ray Comfort's film Audacity. The film features efforts to get homosexuals to repent of their sins. Routson, who had been an employee at Precision Strip of Middleton, Ohio for the past 13 years, was fired August 27th without severance pay or unemployment. According to Routson, company management told him he was not allowed to share his faith with coworkers on or off the clock. You can go to GoFundMe.com/ChrisRoutsonFamily to give and show your support. His last name is spelled Routson. Again, you can donate at GoFundMe.com/ChrisRoutsonFamily. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10. According to the Christian Post, pro-life leaders are split over the best strategy to defund Planned Parenthood. While one of the goals for all right-to-life groups is to stop all government funding of Planned Parenthood by any legal means, others support standalone bills that would not shut down the government. In an interview with the Christian Post, Tom McCluskey, Vice President of Government Affairs for March to Life Action, says he understands the strategy but adds, I'm disappointed with groups or members surrendering before even fighting. Representative Mike Simpson, Republican from Idaho, told the Associated Press, if you're pro-life, the last thing you want to do is have the focus changed to the government. Volkswagen is being engulfed by a growing crisis over its attempt to make millions of diesel cars appear cleaner than they are, according to CNN Money. The scandal broke Friday when U.S. regulators said the German company had programmed some 500,000 vehicles to emit lower levels of harmful emissions in official tests than on the roads. But Volkswagen, in a bold move, stunned investors yesterday by admitting that the problem was much bigger than that. Internal investigations had found significant discrepancies in 11 million vehicles worldwide. Former GOP presidential frontrunner, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, quit the Republican presidential race Monday in a hastily organized press conference after the news leaked out. He appealed to others of his party to counter the rise of frontrunner Donald Trump. Over the weekend, Kirsten Mundell of Spanaway, Washington, made sure a front row seat was left empty to honor her father, Kent, a sheriff's deputy, who was killed in the line of duty 6 years ago. Her something blue was a blue ribbon tying her wedding dress in the back. It touched all who watched her walk down the aisle. But when a line of Pierce County sheriffs surprised her and lined up to dance with her during the father-daughter dance, it touched Mundell's heart like little else could, she said. There was not a dry eye in the room. And that's the world view on this Wednesday, September 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generation News broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you here. Bill Jack also in studio. As we take a look at the state of the United States and the state of the world, we always come back to the economy because, very interesting, as we see the breakdown of our socioeconomic systems, friends, it's impossible not to ignore the economy. And this, of course, plays a part in the destruction of empires and the unraveling of nations. America, the strongest economic nation in the world from 1880 until 2014, roughly November of 2014. America has toppled. America is no longer the most powerful economic force in the world. However, it was for about 130 years, and we were as proud as you could possibly be, and most Americans still are very, very proud, talking about how proud they're going to be, but I'm sorry, it's too late. Donald, it's too late. It's too late to be proud. It's too late to talk about the pride of America and bringing Reagan back, who, by the way, introduced a great amount of debt in order to sustain the American life for yet another 30, 40 years. But friends, at some point, the cadaver just can't take any more heroin. The cadaver, it might still jiggle just a little tiny bit, but it can't take much more heroin after a while, after it's taken on so much debt. I'm sorry, the cadaver is dead. He's dead, 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 and the heroin's not going to help anymore. Well, that's pretty much what's happening with our economies, and we're going to get back to root issues on this in just a moment, but and here's why I'm bringing this out. Last Thursday, Bill, the Federal Reserve could not do it. They just could not do it. Oh, that they wanted to do it. Oh, they wanted to raise the prime, but they couldn't raise the prime. Why couldn't the Federal Reserve raise the prime interest rate? It's sort of around zero right now. And why did they want to do it? They wanted to do it to introduce more robustness into the economy so that you have a little more cushion. They have no more cushion. You're right down there. There absolutely is no more shock absorber left in the economy at all. So now we are in the most vulnerable position we can possibly be in. We're very, 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 very wobbly, 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 wobbly. But to increase the interest rate would introduce more wobble. So wobble upon the wobbly was not something that the Federal Reserve wanted to introduce last Thursday, and so they put it off. And what they're saying is it will happen this year. It couldn't happen now, but we're going to do it this year. Trust us, we're going to do it this year. Might happen in October, might happen in December. Every meeting's a live meeting, says Yellen, Janet Yellen. October remains a possibility. But they want to do it, that they want to do it, that they want to do it. They want to raise the prime rate, but they can't because why? There's so much wobble in the international economy right now. And you know we've lost thousands and thousands of points on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and China has been in free fall for, 3 months now?
You know, okay. When my kids were little, there was a popular toy called the Weebles.
The Weebles?
Weebles, okay. Yeah. And it was a weighted toy. It was round on the bottom. These were little figures, okay? But they didn't have legs. They just sat on this weighted, rounded rear end, okay?
Yeah.
And the theme for it was Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you could tip them over and they would right themselves. And that's what the economists, that's what those in positions of authority really wish would happen to our economy. That it would wobble, but it wouldn't fall down. And they're so afraid because they realize that there's no such thing as a weeble.
Our wobbles don't weeble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our wobbles don't weeble, don't. Friends.
Nope.
Our wobbles are wobbly, wobbly, wobbly. It's the first domino. And here's the other thing. They're bigger than they've ever been before. These big dominoes are so big, and they have much more of a connection internationally to other economies. So the entire world is watching the Federal Reserve, and they're wondering what in the world is going to happen. And do remember, since the last recession in 2007, according to the UK Telegraph, combined public and private debt amongst the developed countries has only increased 36 percentage points since then to 265% of the GDP. In other words, combining the public and private debt
the percentage debt-to-GDP ratio was about 230%. Now it's up to 265% in just the last 8 years. So things have only gotten worse. Ergo, the wobble has increased since the last recession. And do remember, it's been about 10 years. It was 2007 when the interest rate was increased the last time. You see, they increased the interest rate in 2007 in order to create just a little bit more robustness for the economy. And then 2008 recession occurred. So just within a year, everything collapsed. So, of course, they brought it back down to zero, and they've kept it at zero for the last 8 to 9 years, hoping that the debt-to-GDP ratios would improve.
But they
didn't improve because why? Because of existentialism, because people are living for themselves for the moment, and they would not. Oh, they would not rid themselves of any debt at this point. They can't. They already worship money and all their stuff. The materialism virtually controls the minds and hearts of the billions of people in the developed nations around the world. And, of course, they're going to set us up for the biggest depression, the biggest worldwide depression ever. And, my friends, it could come this year. It could come next year. But bottom line here is the leaders are not in control. When you get to the Federal Reserve Board, and you're at the very, very pinnacle of the people who control the economies of the world, and you walk into the conference room where the Federal Reserve meets, you will discover that they have no fingernails. And why, Bill? Explain to the crowd why they have no fingernails.
They're nervous.
They've chewed them down. Chewed them down.
Down to the first knuckle.
Yep.
Almost down to the first knuckle. I got news for you. When you walk into that room, okay, they're all sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
They don't have chairs.
Yep.
You know why?
In a pile of sweat.
Yes.
In a pile of sweat.
Because they don't want to wobble. And they know that they're all, when they walk in that room, you know what it's like? The Federal Reserve is like walking into one of those houses that the gravity houses. When you were a kid, you know, you went to the carnival and all the floors were at different angles and you couldn't find yourself standing upright.
Yeah.
Because everything was out of kilter. That's unfortunately what the problem is at the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. And they've chewed their fingernails down to the nubs because, and here's why, because they have discovered that they can't fix the world economy.
They're not in control.
Yeah, and they know that now. Now everybody else doesn't. You know, they haven't made it behind the screen. Remember Wizard of Oz?
Yeah,
come behind the screen. Yeah. The guy who is
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yep. You get behind the curtain, you find out that they're just men. And women.
Yep.
And they're not in control. And it turns out God's in control. Now, if you come to the very, very end of the discussion, you're going to find it in Ecclesiastes 12, the whole end of the matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. The two things that are not considered by the President of the United States and by the Federal Reserve.
Fearing God and keeping His commandments.
The two things that were missing. Okay, be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated, get some influence. and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates. Take part in a presidential poll. Support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. As we sit and watch what's happening to America, and it's important to bring a biblical principle to it and to understand the times by way of the Word of God. And you see what's happening with nations. They reject God. What happens? The nations fall apart. They reject God's principles of economics. What happens? Their economic systems fall apart. The debtor is servant to the lender. That's an important principle from the book of Proverbs. And I encourage you to give your children the book of Proverbs. That's why we've done the Proverbs Bible Study Guides, to prepare our children for the next generation. They're going to be running their families, their family economies, and their nations. Better understand biblical principle when it comes to, well, all of life. And now here we see our systems more vulnerable than they've ever been, Bill. I mean, you're looking at these dominoes wobbling more than ever before. The Fed hasn't been able to adjust the interest rates in 9 years now. The last time they did it, that precipitated the 2008 collapse, the recession that was just awful. And then we haven't recovered since then. The GDP, the debt ratio, the GDP ratio has only gotten worse since then, so there's been no recovery. There is absolutely no robustness built into our economies in any of the developed nations. And so the Federal Reserve is scared of this. Now, here's an article from Quartz magazine that just gives a little bit more background why our systems are even more vulnerable than they've ever been before. The Fed is about to attempt the greatest monetary experiment in history. He says, for years, everyone's involved with investing has wanted to know, when will the Federal Reserve raise interest rates? It's been 9 years now. But there's another important consideration. Can the Fed raise interest rates? The query is more than academic. With the U.S. economy looking increasingly strong, some still think the Federal Reserve could act to raise rates after its Monetary Policy Committee meets this year. Such Fed rates increases used to be commonplace, but not so much anymore. Here's the problem. Right now, everybody has way more reserves than they need, because the Federal Reserve's pumped large volumes of reserves into the system in recent years in an effort to first contain the financial crisis and later support economic growth. Here's the trick. Traditionally, in order to raise interest rates, the Fed has to find ways to suck some of those reserves back out of the system, but that's gotten a lot harder to do. And then it goes on. So it's just saying, hey, these are all the reasons why our systems today are way more vulnerable than they used to be, and raising rates may not actually produce as much robustness as we hoped. And in the end, it probably isn't going to lower any debt, because Americans aren't interested in lowering debt anyway. And this is about the only way to stimulate economy. We can't stimulate economy by character and hard work anymore. All we can do is stimulate economy by debt. And at some point, you run out of other people's money, and you run out of money to borrow from, and you're borrowing from yourself, and money isn't worth what it used to be worth. And so, you know, economies become extremely vulnerable to collapse. And I think that's where we are right now, Bill.
And what you referenced the Pied Piper of Hamelin not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that it's leading our culture to destruction. Mm-hmm. And there comes a time when you have to pay the piper.
Yeah.
Because if you don't pay the piper, destruction follows.
The piper has invoiced.
Yep.
What are these invoices in inbox,
yeah,
Bill?
We'll just ignore those.
This one says it's from the Piper. This one's from the Piper, too.
Yeah.
And this one's from the Piper. Yeah, at some point, the Piper invoices.
I thought you paid the Piper.
I didn't. I forgot.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. Piper's invoiced. And back to the fundamental issue, and that is that America has become proud. America's materialistic, and America doesn't worship God. When we ask ourselves, how do we prepare for the next great depression? Now, I know a lot of preppers out there are collecting their gold and silver. I've got a better way to prepare for it, and that is to worship the true and living God. Stop worshiping materials. Gather your children together and do family worship. I remember interviewing a guy who had done a book on the Federal Reserve, and I believe his name was Allison. And you know, he was pointing out that this whole Federal Reserve system is vulnerable and it's going to come down, it's going to collapse, and you just can't. You can't have these manipulators of economies manipulating forever and ever, and we can't live on debt forever. So I said, well, what's the solution? At the end of the interview, I said, Mr. Allison, what's the solution to this? He said, well, here's what we need to do. What we need to do is we need to go home, and we need to gather our kids together, and we need to read the Bible and do family worship. I thought, well, what in the world does that have to do with the Federal Reserve? Everything. Everything. Fear God and keep His commandments. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. That's ultimately the issue.
But that's not been the case historically. I mean, we have a long history of turning our back on God, of thumbing our nose at God. Case in point. Recently, there was found a letter that was from Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
Chucky.
Okay. Chucky Darwin.
Yeah, Chucky Darwin.
Now, this is original letter.
It's
written by him in his handwriting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a very short letter. Okay. It was in response to a question, a query from an F.A. McDermott. And McDermott promised not to reveal this letter publicly. And so Darwin was very frank and he was candid about his response. The letter from McDermott was this. Quote, if I am to have the pleasure of reading your books, I must feel that at the end I shall not have lost my faith in the New Testament. My reason in writing to you, therefore, is to ask you to give me a yes or no to the question, do you believe in the New Testament? End quote.
Mm-hmm.
Darwin's reply, it was penned 21 years after the publication of the famous book On the Origin of Species,
okay,
was very blunt. Here's what he said. Dear sir, I am sorry to have to inform you that I do not believe in the Bible as a divine revelation and therefore not in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Yours faithfully, Chucky Darwin. Now, this letter is going up for auction and is expected to fetch anywhere from $70,000 to $90,000.
Oh, it is the Word of God. Small g.
And
this is the word of the modern God.
Yes.
This is the philosopher king of the 1800s that is really the source of all of our faith, all of our trust in the modern world. He is the God. He is the source of all truth when it comes to this matter of origins and this new naturalistic metaphysic that we have inherited.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, also a madman.
Yeah.
Out of his mind. For about 30 years of his life. And you can read the story in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West.
Probably triggered by the grief over the loss of his daughter.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Which ultimately tied into his bitterness against God.
Yeah.
On Sunday, I told our church, I don't believe there are atheists. I just think there are people who believe in God who hate him.
Right.
Because if you talk to an atheist long enough, you get to 2, 3, 4 hours.
Oh.
He's going to tell you all the reasons he doesn't like God.
Right.
He starts with the fact he doesn't believe in God, but eventually he gets to all of the reasons why he doesn't like God. So ultimately, the man is just pretending like God doesn't exist. He knows God exists. He's just embittered against him. And embittered against him because he doesn't view him to be good, views himself to be good, and views himself not to have fallen, not to need any of God's salvation. He views himself to be the paragon of all goodness and righteousness and holiness, and then he views God as mean for bringing about, you know, the suffering on the earth for man's sin. So that's ultimately atheism. Atheism are just a bunch of people who are embittered against God. They know God. They're ex-Christians, or people raised in the Christian faith who know God, but they have decided they don't like him.
You know, it's interesting because David Cumran, who is the author of The Reluctant Mr. Darwin and editor of the illustrated edition of On the Origin of the Species, made this statement. He said, there has been fog and falsehood and wishful thought surrounding the subject of Darwin's religious belief, or lack of it, for more than a century. The McDermott letter of 1880, a real historical document, reaffirms all the other genuine evidence we have about Charles Darwin's rigorous, courageous agnosticism throughout the second half of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me? What's courageous about that?
Well, you know, somebody who stands up against God is, I wouldn't use the word courage, I would use the word ignorant.
I would use the word foolish.
Foolish, thank you. And again, I like to use the example of Jack and the Beanstalk. This is the other Jack. Climbs the beanstalk, finds a castle that's 100,000 miles wide, 100,000 miles long, and 100,000 miles high. And Jack does a very stupid thing. He grabs a can of spray paint and spray paints "Stupid King" on the fence of this. Now, Jack has to spend the rest of his life explaining all the reasons why the king doesn't exist, because Jack did something very stupid.
Yeah.
Jack did something very stupid. So Jack has this apologetics campaign that he wages for the rest of his life. He publishes his materials. He writes his books, and he develops his theories, his stupid theories about how a rock turned into a human being by a mechanism that doesn't exist. And he passes it out to all of his friends, and he explains to everybody that the king doesn't exist. Jack is irrational about it, too. Jack tends to foam at the mouth a bit when Jack talks about how bad this king is, the king that doesn't exist.
Right.
Jack is out of his mind.
Mm.
Jack is insane. Jack should be taken to a mental institute, which you know, has happened to the Nietzsches and the Darwins of the world.
Yeah.
And this ultimately is the root of the departure from the faith that we're seeing in this nation. This is why homosexual marriage. This is why America is abandoning the faith. And I've written these stories in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. I think it's important to know these stories. But, Bill, I think most importantly, we need to remember that whatever happens to this nation is not happening just out of brute fate. This is happening because there is a God.
And America
has turned away from him.
And God's not going to be mocked.
Yeah.
And God is patient. God is long-suffering, if you will. He wants us all to come to repentance. But there is a day of judgment. And we have this long history of denying God, of spray painting God is stupid along the church walls,
mm-hmm.
across his book, mm-hmm. across his word. And he's patient, but he's not going to be patient forever because he is a jealous God, and he will require recompense.
Mm-hmm.
He'll require payment for the defamation.
Nobody's questioning the fact that this nation is coming apart at the seams. I don't think. Well, maybe a few, but no rational person question the fact that America's debt-to-GDP ratio has completely exploded in the last 15 years, and we are the sixth worst nation in the world out of 200 nations. Nobody would question the fact that we are the sixth worst nation in the world, and we topped out with our median income in 2005, so we've been about a decade heading downwards, and this nation is heading towards impoverishment. Nobody's questioning the fact that America's social system has collapsed, that our birth rates are imploding. Nobody's questioning that fact. Nobody's questioning the fact that we have ruined sexuality in this country, and 64% of young Christian men 18 to 30 years of age are addicted to pornography. That came out from Barna just in 2014. Nobody's questioning the fact that many of these will turn to homosexuality, and we will deal with sexual nihilism big time over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Nobody's questioning the fact this nation is collapsing. The question, though, is there a God involved here? Is God connected? Is God calling the nations to repentance, whereas he's winking at some of the polygamy and homosexuality and things that were happening in the Old Testament, but now commands all men everywhere to repent? That's the question that people are asking. Now, I'm going to say from Acts 17, God is calling all men everywhere to repent now, now. And he's holding these nations to short accounts now. There is a God, and he's judging the nations, including our own. So fear God, keep his commandments.
You know, maybe we should heed the warning that a concerned writer, sent to Charles Darwin in 1871.
This was before the letter he sent,
yes,
denying his belief in God and the Bible.
It was after the publication of Origin of the Species, because people at the time realized that this was a direct attack against God. This was a war against God, that his premise did away with the need for God. And this, he got all kinds of letters, but this one letter read this way, addressing Charles Darwin. Oh, man, 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 Why wrap yourself in the dark theories of your own imagination and spend your days in striving to prove God a liar? Is that not what we've done in our culture? In every aspect, from economics to evolution.
Yeah, and America has embraced Charles Darwin. I'm sorry, they have not embraced Henry Morris and John C. Whitcomb and Ken Ham.
No.
And Moses and the Word of God.
Right.
In fact, from the 1960s onwards, it outlawed any reading of the Word of God. And some Christian teacher is being prosecuted for having a symbol, a cross, somewhere in the classroom in Texas. Okay? So America has proven itself as a follower of this man, Darwin, who says, I'm sorry, but I do not believe in the Bible or in divine revelation, and therefore not in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And that is exactly what American public schools have been teaching for a long time, for the last 100 years or so. And now that's pretty much exclusively what American schools teach. Now, occasionally a teacher will teach creation, but it's pretty rare. It's probably 1 in 100. And sadly, the majority of Christians continue to send their kids to these schools to be taught by those who teach Charles Darwin, who said that he did not believe in the Bible or in Jesus Christ as a Son of God. They set their kids at the feet of these teachers for hundreds of hours, for thousands of hours every year. And so that is why the previous generation may have had a church attendance of 45%, but the next generation will be closer to 20%. And there are fewer and fewer churches that maintain a strong sense of orthodoxy. This ultimately is the apostasy. This is the turning away from God. And it's happening largely through the influence of the public schools in America, not to mention ABC, NBC, and CBS. All right, we're clean out of time. But my encouragement to those of you listening is arm yourself on these issues. Grab a copy of my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. It's really my book on worldviews. I wrote the book by way of biographies because I think biographies are more interesting than just a straight book on worldview. And you learned a very important lesson that Jesus gave us, and that is, by their fruits ye shall know them. By the fruits of the prophets and the teachers, like Darwin, ye shall know them. And so, of course, we're going to look at Darwin, and then we're going to look at all the eugenics programs, and then we're going to move on to Nazism, and we're going to see the connections between his fruits and his teachings. Because, why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that's the biggest no-brainer in history. I'm just thankful that Christ gave us that rule, and I've applied it in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. It's a 2-for-1, by the way. So be sure to get one for a college kid in your church, perhaps in your family, a grandkid who may be attending college. Be sure to get 2 copies for the price of 1 at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson, also Bill Jack in studio, as we invite you again next time to join us as we lay down a vision for the next generation.